I'd like to begin by, first of all, thanking our blessed Lord God and Father for allowing me the opportunity to be here with you today, for allowing me safe passage. And, of course, I thank the elders here for extending the invitation to entrust that I would be able to present the Word of God in the way the Lord God intended. So I do take that seriously, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to be with you throughout the week, and I hope to be able to visit with you all. I don't get the chance to come up as often, so I am happy to be here. As Mickey stated, the theme of this meeting, the series of lessons, will be on evangelism, on what it is and what is our responsibility, how we can go about engaging in this work that is very important for all Christians to undertake. And as we will see, there's much we can do and there's much that we need to do in our world today. If you look at society, especially in the United States, sadly, more and more people are getting away from God. People are rejecting any mention of the Scriptures, any statement of absolute truth is met with hostility. So what is our responsibility in this time of darkness? So if we're going to talk about evangelism, it helps to know, well what is it? What exactly is evangelism? When we look at the Scriptures, through various passages, we conclude that the work of the church is in three areas. The first work that we look at here is edification. Edification means building up the brethren. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church that was not properly worshiping the Lord God. Their coming together was disorderly, and so Paul had to address this matter. And then in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, he indicated, "What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." So Paul was indicating to this congregation that the work they did needed to build up the members. That's what the word edification means. At the time, they were not doing so, for they were a gathering in a disorderly manner. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, the Apostle Paul once again speaks of edification. Here he indicates how Jesus organized his church so that the members would be able to increase in their knowledge and their faith and be strengthened, be edified. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, "He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Now that word "building up," in some renditions, for example, the New King James, it renders it edifying. Here the New American Standard translates it more literally. And this is the point that the Apostle Paul is making, that God established the church and organized it as such so that the members would have the needed skills in order to be strengthened in the faith. So we look at the work of the church as being one of the work of edification. We also note that the church has been entrusted to take care of those saints, those members of the Lord's body who are in need. In fact, our offering on the first day of the week is for that is one of the reasons why which we offer on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." If you notice, Paul says that the purpose of the collection is for the saints. This is to address those saints who are in financial need or some other want where Christians come and assist them. In Acts chapter 11, we see an example of this. In Acts chapter 11, a prophet at the time made mention that there was going to be a famine, and it happened as he had foretold. And so there were some saints who were affected and they needed assistance. In Acts 11, beginning in verse 27, "Now at the time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And they did this, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders." So we see here that the brethren gathered funds and sent them down into the region of Judea to assist those Christians who had been affected by the famine. So this is a work that the church is to be engaged in. And then we look at evangelism, which of course will be the focus of our study. In Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1 and 3, we're introduced a little further to the work that's happening in Antioch. And we find there, beginning in verse 1, "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So we see here that the Holy Spirit indicated that these two men would be in charge with in this particular congregation to go out and to spread the gospel. And if we continue reading through the book of Acts, we see that this is what the men did. So, if we're going to be talking about evangelism, well, what is it? What exactly are we to do in order to fulfill this responsibility given to the church? How are individuals, how are local congregations to undertake this task? And so that's what we'll look at this morning. So let's define some words used in reference to evangelism. There's three Greek words that we will take a look at. The first Greek word, and I have a little pronunciation so you can understand how it's pronounced. It's pronounced euangelion. That's how you would say this word in the Greek. This word is found in the New Testament 76 times. The majority of the time that you find it, it is rendered gospel. Depending on the translations, it can be rendered good news. For example, in the New American Standard, if you go to Romans 10 and verse 16, and of course we'll come back to this verse as well, but if you look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, when the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, Romans 10 and verse 16, "However, they did not all heed the good news." That's the New American Standard Version. The New King James would render it gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So depending on the translations, it's either good news or gospel. The majority of the time we will see that. So this is the first word that would be the focus in understanding what is evangelism, the word gospel and how it's used. The second word that we use is similar, and this Greek word is pronounced euangelizo. This word is used in the New Testament 61 times. And whenever it is used, the English translators have translated as preach, preached, or preaching. And let's look at a few examples. In Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 43, this is in reference to the work that Jesus was doing when he began his ministry. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 43, it says, "But he said to them," and this is Jesus speaking, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent there for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea." Those two words, preach and preaching, it's the same word in the Greek, and it's translated as such. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, when we go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we see this word used of the work that the apostles were doing. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, here God's word says, "Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So this is how the word is translated in many verses, preached, preached, or preaching. The word is also translated as bring or brought, depending on the tense, good news, either bringing or brought good news. For example, in Luke chapter 1, we have here an angel in Luke chapter 1 appearing to Elizabeth and speaking regarding the birth of John. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, the angel said to him, in this case Zacharias, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Now, of course, the good news as used here was in reference to the son that he would have, John, who would prepare the way for Christ. But that is good news. And then in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, in Luke 2 verse 10, in reference to the birth of Jesus, once again, the angel speaking this time says, Luke chapter 10 verse 2, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." And as we continue, we find it's in reference to the birth of Christ. So this is still the same word, but the indication is that the angel is bringing good news to these families concerning a child that they will have. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, in 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 16, the Apostle Paul is indicating some news that was brought. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 6, I apologize, 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 6, Timothy brings good news, it says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you, has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you." So this word, when it is used, it's simply referring to news that is good. Now, a lot of the times when used, it will refer to bringing the gospel. But in other verses, it just means the news is good. And the third word that we will look at here in the Greek, this word is pronounced euangelistes. And this word, as used in the New Testament, we only find it three times, but each time that it is used, it is translated evangelist. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8 is the first instance, the first occurrence of this word. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8, Paul is returning into the region of Judea, and he stays with Philip. And Philip is called the evangelist. Acts 21, verse 8. "On the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him." So Philip was called an evangelist. We read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that when Jesus organized the church, he gave some to be prophets, some apostles, some evangelists. That's the Greek word used. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, 5, when the Apostle Paul writes to the young man, encouraging him to continue his work as one who preaches the word of God, he is said to be called an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. The word of God says, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So here Timothy is called an evangelist. So if we look at these three words, we know their close association, how they are all very similar. The Greek word gospel means good news. The Greek word preach or brought good news means one who tells of good news. And then the third word, as translated evangelist, is one who declares good news. So by examining these three words, when we talk about evangelism, and if you look at the Greek word, you can understand how we would get our English word for evangelism. The association of these three, when harmonized, indicates somebody, a person, who is bringing the good news of Jesus the Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, excuse me, 15. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Here's a good summary of what it is to evangelize. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, we'll read through verse 4. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul, and he writes, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I have delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So here is a summary of what it is to evangelize. Paul says, "I'm bringing to you good news, the gospel. I'm preaching this news to you concerning what Jesus has done, how Jesus came and died for our sins," verse 3, "he was buried and arose," verse 4. So that's a summary of what evangelism is. So now that we understand what is evangelism, we go further into detail here. Evangelism, thus, is sharing the gospel. So who is doing the sharing? Well, we know preachers, those who make it, whether a full-time profession or something they would do on occasion, individuals, men within local congregations will share the gospel. They are called evangelists. The apostles began this work in Acts chapter 2. When we look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to proclaim to Jerusalem that Jesus, whom they had crucified, is the Christ. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles' brethren, "What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So here we have an example of Peter, and along with the rest of the apostles, who are proclaiming the good news that this Jesus, whom the crowd knew, they were very aware of Jesus, they had put him to death, and he is the Christ. So this occurred beginning on the day of Pentecost. We see Philip the evangelist. He shared the gospel when he traveled throughout the land. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, we have the disciples being dispersed because of persecution. And so Philip went into the region of Samaria, and he spread the news to that area. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." So Philip, in traveling through Samaria, this is what he did. He brought the people the good news of Jesus the Christ. So this was to a group of people, but we also see the work of Philip in evangelizing to an individual. Later on in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, Philip is instructed to go to a man who is traveling, and he would be told what to do. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. "So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian man, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' He said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth.' The eunuch answered Philip and said, 'Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him." So we see here that this was a one-on-one, as far as we can tell, a one-on-one evangelistic effort. Philip was instructed by the Holy Spirit to go to this place, to go to this man and speak to him. And as we continue reading, we find that this Ethiopian man believed, he confessed his faith, and he was baptized. So, Philip evangelized to a group of people in Samaria and to individuals. We also see that the Apostle Paul, he shared the gospel publicly, and he did so from house to house. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus, and he's recounting the work that he did with them while in the city. And so in Acts 20, beginning in verse 17, it says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, and with tears, and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house.'" So in this example, Paul is in the city, and he was going and spreading the gospel to a public a location or to a private homes, and this is what he was doing while he was in Ephesus, working with the saints for many months. So we see that evangelism, demonstrated in the scriptures, is sharing the gospel by evangelists, by preachers. However, it is not limited just to preachers. They are not the only ones who are given this responsibility to spread the gospel. We also see that all Christians should be spreading the good news. If evangelism is sharing the gospel, then all of us must be able to do so. Not just a preacher, not just someone who stands up on the first day of the week or any other time the local congregation meets. It's everybody. We see this example in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, one of the seven chosen, had just been put to death, the first person to die for the cause. And so a great persecution arose in Jerusalem. And because of this, the Christians had to scatter for their safety. However, they did not scatter to go into hiding. They didn't leave and kept their faith to themselves, fearing that perhaps the persecution would follow them. Look at what they did. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word." So they not only, they had to leave for safety reasons, but they also went about preaching the gospel. This did not stop them just because there were Christians being persecuted for the faith. So all Christians were taking the good news. And as we continue reading in this account, we see Philip was one of those who went into the region and he continued evangelizing. In Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, we see a reference, once again, to those who had been scattered, a reference to those who, because of the persecution, had to flee the city. So then, beginning in verse 19, "So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone." So the first individuals who were proclaiming the good news were going to fellow Israelites. Of course, they would have a fuller knowledge of the will of God because of the Old Testament. So they go into Phoenicia, which is present-day Lebanon. Cyprus is the same today. And Antioch, which is in Syria. So they go to these cities, and they are proclaiming the gospel. They're limiting it just to Jews at first. But the next verse says, verse 20, "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus." So these men from the island of Cyprus and Cyrene, which is present-day Libya, they went and reached out not only to Jews, but they extended it to Greeks, to Gentiles. So we see here individuals are spreading the gospel to now both Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. So we see here that as a result of their preaching, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord." Now, it does not make mention that there were apostles amongst these members. It just indicates that they were Christians who believed, who had followed the Lord God, who now were traveling to other areas. They brought the good news with them, and look what happened. People believed and turned to God. So this demonstrates that individuals can spread the gospel. It doesn't have to be limited just to an evangelist. We see in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, that our duty as servants of God, as His followers, is to proclaim His praises. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. The writer here says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but But now you have received mercy. So Peter says that today all Christians are the priesthood. Think back to the Old Testament. What was the responsibility of priests? They were the ones tasked with instructing the nation of Israel with the law, with the word of God. It was the priests, Levites, scribes, etc. This was their responsibility. And so Peter says that all Christians today are a royal priesthood. And our job is to proclaim the excellencies of God. Our job is to speak of the wonders of God. And so when we are out there encountering the people in this world, we should be spreading the good news. So evangelism is sharing the gospel by all Christians. We also see that a way in which the gospel can be shared is by local congregations sending people out to do this work. Evangelism is sharing the gospel by churches sending forth preachers, those who would engage in this work, to their primary job. We see in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, that preachers need to be sent. We need to send people to go into this world and to reach the lost so that they might hear the gospel, the good news. Peter makes it clear that without doing so, people won't know who Jesus is and they won't be able to believe because they've never heard of him. In Romans 10, beginning in verse 13, Romans 10, 13 through 15, God's word says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." Paul makes it clear that people need to believe in Jesus if they wish to be saved, if they wish to have their sins forgiven. But of course, people can't call on the name of Jesus if they've never heard about Jesus. People won't hear about Jesus unless people are out there talking about him. And so one of the ways that we can engage in the work of evangelism is by sending forth preachers to go out into the world and spread the gospel. An example of a preacher being sent in Acts chapter 11, once the news of the believers in Antioch, remember, we just read that there were people who went to Antioch, Christians who spread the gospel, and many believed. So that news eventually made its way down to Jerusalem, and when the apostles heard this, they sent Barnabas up to Antioch to aid in that work. Acts 11, beginning in verse 22. "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them, all with resolute heart, to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord." So along with the work that had already been started by these individual Christians, Barnabas is now sent to go to Antioch to continue the work. We find that he encouraged them. Verse 24, considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So it appears that the work that Barnabas went to aid increased because he was, of course, a man full of the Holy Spirit. So what the individual Christians began, Barnabas went to aid and more people were brought to the Lord. And then the example that we saw in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. When we read that earlier, we find that the Holy Spirit indicated that Barnabas and Saul would be set apart for this work. And so in verse 3, after the congregation had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Now, continuing on in this chapter, we find they make their way to Cyprus, where they began to reach people with this good news, and then they make their way to other cities. So the congregation in Antioch sent preachers. They were evangelizing through supporting these men as they were going out and spreading the gospel. So we can engage in the work of evangelism by sending men out, finding those who are willing to travel to other parts of this land, other countries, to bring the message of Christ. And we see many congregations do engage in that today. We have many members within the church who travel to other nations to spread the gospel. We find that evangelism is sharing the gospel also by churches helping. Maybe not necessarily they are the ones who sent an individual, but they can aid the person, the evangelist, as he is spreading the gospel. We have the example of Paul. The apostle while he's out there spreading the good news, he needed some assistance, you know, financially for travel and lodging and food, etc. And so the church in Philippi had helped him in this regard. And he writes to them to acknowledge their assistance in sharing the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the apostle says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, so from just this verse, all we know is that they participated or they shared in the gospel with the Apostle Paul from the first day, indicating probably from the time he arrived or from the first day he left until the moment he's writing this letter. So how were they sharing? What exactly were they doing that Paul thanks them for their sharing of the gospel? Well, if we go to later chapters in this letter, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, Philippians 4, 15 and 16, later on it's revealed how this congregation helped Paul share the gospel. He writes, verse 15, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So here is now it is revealed now how the church aided, how they shared with Paul. It says that at his preaching of the gospel, this local congregation sent funds to aid Paul while he was traveling. From Philippi they sent when he had gone into the city of Thessalonica. So this is how the congregation shared in the gospel, by supporting the work that the apostle was doing. We note in the letter to the Corinthians that Paul references this help that he received from other congregations. So while he was down in Corinth, he didn't take any support from that congregation. Instead, he received it from others. Possibly Philippi, he doesn't indicate which congregation, simply mentions that he received help. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8, Paul says, I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. Now, of course, he refers to it as robbing because he preferred not to have to take wages. But in this case, it was needed. And so while he was in Corinth, other congregations gave him aid. Now, which ones, we don't know. It simply ties into what Paul had written to the church of Philippi. They were sharing the gospel by spreading, in the work of spreading the gospel by supporting Paul in his needs. We see that evangelism is also sharing the gospel by individual Christians helping. Evangelism is sharing in the gospel by those individual Christians who wish to help those who preach. We see in 3 John verses 5 through 8 that John is writing to a man named Gaius, however it's pronounced, and he acknowledges that this man has been helpful in assisting those who were traveling for the sake of the gospel. So in the third letter of John, beginning in verse 5, he writes and says, Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. So John is saying that this person was noted for his aiding in Christians who were traveling through wherever this man was located, and he would aid them and then send them on their way, and especially when they were strangers. So he would take in fellow Christians who he didn't know, but they were engaged in this work. Paul says that in verse 8, they're supporting these men, and in doing so, they are fellow workers. So evangelism is sharing the gospel by also supporting those who are engaged in this effort. We see Timothy is said to have helped the Apostle Paul in spreading the gospel. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, beginning in verse 19. Paul praises the young man, saying he was very helpful, very instrumental in the effort to spread the gospel. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. So we don't know the extent of Timothy's assistance to Paul. It could have very well been that Timothy himself was engaged in actually proclaiming these words. But the indication is that he served Paul as a child with their father. So he assisted Paul in whatever manner he needed. And Timothy is said to have served in spreading the gospel, the furtherance, by aiding the Apostle Paul. So Paul is here referencing an individual who was engaged in this work of evangelism by assisting. We also see in the same letter that some of the Philippians, some of the members of that congregation, were noted as being fellow workers in the truth. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3. Again, God's word says, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." So Paul here indicates a few women, and what does he say regarding these women? He said that they shared in his struggle for the gospel. So however way they assisted, also Clement, and Paul refers to them as fellow workers. Now, we don't know the extent of aid that these women and Clement offered, but Paul clearly indicates their assistance helped spread the gospel. Their aid allowed the Apostle Paul to do this work for which he had been made an apostle. So evangelism is sharing the gospel in these many ways. There are many ways that we can engage in the work of evangelism. So why is evangelism so important? Why is it so important for us to be involved in the work of spreading the gospel, whether it's we ourselves who reach out to the our family members, friends, neighbors, or helping those who are specifically tasked for this work? Well, number one, we note that this was commanded by the Lord Jesus himself. When he sent the apostles out, the 11, notice his focus. His focus was on spreading the good news. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. In Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, we often refer to this this passage as the Great Commission. He is commissioning the apostles for this tremendous work. And he says to them, beginning in verse 18, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, "Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" He clearly says to them, you are going to make disciples. You are going to baptize them in the name, of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you will teach them to follow my commands. When we look at the parallel account in Mark chapter 16, we get a clearer picture as to how they would make disciples. How would they get people to become baptized? In Mark 16, beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." In this passage, we find Jesus says, you will preach the gospel. If they believe you and are baptized, they will be saved. Jesus said, as we read in Matthew 28, that they would be made disciples when baptized. So Mark tells us that it is through the preaching of the gospel that people would become disciples by being baptized. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, another passage where we find Jesus instructing his apostles regarding this work of spreading the gospel, the good news. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus, speaking to the 11, says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So here he indicates that they would testify, having been eyewitnesses, having been with Jesus for many years, seeing the work that he had done, hearing his teachings, seeing him raised from the dead, they would testify to the world, starting in Jerusalem, and then they would eventually make their way outward regarding Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. So it is important for us to engage in this work because it is a command that we must obey, given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must engage in this work because that is the way that souls are brought unto Christ. Remember, Jesus says, make disciples, baptize them. They will be saved if they believe and obey. In Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 15, when Paul is he's recounting how he was chosen to become an apostle. He's making a defense before the Roman authorities as to why he is going out there preaching Jesus. And in chapter 26, he is recounting how Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus and what Jesus said to him. And notice in verse 15. So here this is Paul saying to Jesus, "Lord, who are you?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." So this is what Jesus said to Paul that he would do. That by Paul being sent out, because Jesus said in verse 17, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles," you will then, upon being sent to the Gentiles, open their eyes. They are in darkness. He would bring forth the light of the truth. And that light, if believed and obeyed, they would turn from the devil to God. So this is why evangelism is so important, because this is how we get people to leave their way of sin and come to God. As we read earlier in Romans 10, 13 through 15, without it, without the gospel being shared, men cannot be saved. I like to use the example of you can't be a fan of someone's work if you don't know who they are. You know, if someone asks you who a certain musician is, do you like his or her music? You would, if you don't know who they are, you say, "Well, I don't know who they are." You could never appreciate who they are because you don't know of their work. Well, if people don't know of the work of Christ, if people don't know what they must do in order to receive forgiveness of sins, then how can they come to God? How can they turn from darkness to the light? As we've seen this morning, our role in evangelism is to share the good news, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we can share this by telling others, by supporting men in their efforts to spread the word, by assisting those who are engaged in this tremendous work. Without evangelism, the church cannot grow. For how will the Lord add to this number if we are not reaching these people? In Acts 2 and verse 47, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we see that in the beginning in Jerusalem, after the people believed and were baptized, about 3,000, we find in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." So more people were being added to the Lord's body as the apostles kept preaching. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, Acts 4, verse 4, "Many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So now we've increased by 2,000 saints. Initially we had a tally of 3,000, now we have 5,000. Why? Because the message was being spread. Chapter 5, verse 14, Acts 5, verse 14, "And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number." More and more people We're coming to God because of the work of the apostles and other Christians, because they were spreading the gospel. So without this effort, without this work, souls will not be reached. So as we continue our lessons, our studies, we will then see the important task of going into the world and preaching the gospel. So I appreciate your attention very much. Again, I thank the Lord God for allowing me to be here with you.